This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. On tonight's show, it's a stout show, and we have six different stouts to try. A couple different chocolate stouts, a milk stout, a Americano coffee stout, and a couple of Imperial stouts as well. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, Dane Carinko, Steve Williamson, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey guys.
Gentlemen and lady.
Hello.
Greetings. Hello.
Stout show. I'm looking forward to this. Full confession, we tried to record this show last week. Maybe had one or two too many warm-up beers. Didn't turn out that well. So this is take two.
Deja vu.
Like one or two, just one or two beers.
We tried two of the beers on the show tonight, but we'll try them again and we'll do a better job this time.
Don't worry, we don't remember them from last week.
This show is right up my alley today.
Big stout fan?
Totally.
Before we get into the first beer, anyone have any interesting beers they've had this week?
I had one. I think you guys will appreciate this. I went to Figueroa Mountain this week. And
I appreciate that, Jeff.
I know you guys are big fans, but they've expanded and they have a new location in Westlake Village where I used to live. And I go there once in a while. And really cool place. I went there, it must have been Wednesday night. And I had one of their, it's like a test beer, kind of a pilot beer. It's an IPA. It's called 10 pounds per barrel, just loaded with hops. It was, you know, fresh and hoppy, and I will say better than Hoppy Poppy. So really tasty IPA.
It's funny you say that because I actually had a Hoppy Poppy, I guess it was last week, and I like that. I had that and Lizard's Mouth back to back, and the Hoppy Poppy was by far my favorite of the two.
Who brews Hoppy Poppy?
All Figueroa Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good brewery. I mean, I would highly recommend this place.
So I was in Subway the other day and waiting in line to order my sandwich. And up ahead of me in line, there's a girl and she's paying for her sandwich. And she just came from the gym, I could tell. And she's wearing a Figueroa Mountain shirt. And I'm like looking at her shirt. And I'm like, oh yeah, Figueroa Mountain. I'm thinking about Lizard's Mouth and beer and everything. And then she turns around and she sees me looking at her. And I have this like grin on my face. And then she like, gives me like daggers with her eyes. Like she caught me like checking her out. And then I said, Figueroa Mountain. I love that brewery. And she just walked out.
Really?
Yeah. She wasn't buying it. So a little creeped her out a little bit.
Anyway, good story though.
It'll happen.
All right. Let's get into the first beer of the night. This is from Four Hands Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. This is another one of those extra beers that Jeff and I picked up when we were in St. Louis last month. Chocolate milk stout, 5.5%.
Looks like cola.
Smells like chocolate.
Very pleasant chocolatey aroma.
With pretty thick tan colored head.
Not very see-through. It's very opaque beer even for being the style.
This is our only canned beer tonight, which I think is pretty unique for a stout. I don't see too many stouts in cans.
Have you ever heard of Guinness?
Good point.
Okay, well played.
But American craft breweries, that you don't see a lot of stouts in cans.
Did we drink this last week or no?
No.
Okay, I didn't think we did. Because
you like this one?
Yeah,
I remember Dane not liking any of the beer.
Yeah, so I'm thinking what's going on. But yeah, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, we brought back one can each of this. This was part of our journey to bring all these beers on the plane from St. Louis and Kansas City back. So there's only one of each.
This one, it's not too heavy. It has that creamy, smooth mouthfeel that you get from a milk stout. And then in the aftertaste, you get that kind of cocoa chocolate flavor coming through in the aftertaste.
It's like a chocolate soda, but it with, you know, a beer aspect to it.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's a little watery, but I mean, because it's light, you know, it's not thick and heavy. It's very drinkable, and it's not super sweet, though, like a soda. Mm. Sometimes those milk stouts with the lactose, they get overbearing on the sweetness. Not so much here.
Yeah, you can. There's a roasted chocolate malt taste with a little bit of watered-down Tootsie Roll is how I kind of describe it.
I agree with everything you guys have said. I am picking up, it must be the lactose, but I'm reminded of powdered milk. There's like a very like powdered milk taste towards the finish.
Yep, I get that too.
You know what I don't get? This, we talked about this on a previous show, but this brewery puts food pairings on their can and they say it goes well with grilled beef. I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. This, I really like this beer, but I don't know if I'd want it with grilled beef.
Maybe like with you, Jeff. I wouldn't either.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, I'd pass on that.
Well, we'll have to try it. Anybody have any grilled beef?
I very recently had some grilled beef hours ago.
Anyone have any of this beer left?
No.
No.
Well, in that case. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, well, one interesting news article that came up this week, and I know it's interesting because several people have sent it to me on the website, and so I put it up on the website, and Anheuser-Busch is being sued because they own the Leffe Belgian beer, and they claim on the label that Leffe is brewed by monks, and apparently that's not the case. Because it's an Anheuser-Busch product.
Whoops.
So they claim, Anheuser-Busch's claim, it's been crafted since 1240, first brewed and perfected by Belgian monks over 700 years ago. That could be true. It doesn't say anything about how it is now. 7 centuries of Belgian craftsmanship in every chalice, Leffe since 1240. After 750 years of happy hours, it's safe to say we've perfected the pour. Some judge their heritage and craft by years. Ours is judged by centuries. Leffe since 1240. Artistry takes time, 750 years exactly. Anyway, it goes on and on. They have all these claims. They said, in reality, Leffe beer has not been brewed at the Abbey of Leffe since the Abbey was destroyed during the French Revolution. Instead, Leffe beer is mass-produced at the Stella Artois Brewery Industrial Complex, not crafted in an abbey by monks with centuries of skills at the craft. In fact, the beer is produced with little human involvement because Stella Artois Brewery is fully automated. It's brewed by robots.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe they're ordained robots.
You know, when Dallas, when we, you and I were in Belgium, we saw a lot of this beer. I didn't realize it was owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Nope, they keep that quiet.
But, you know, we saw it all over the shelves in like grocery stores and little places in Belgium. I mean, I thought it was a real good local beer. Maybe not.
Even now, I've had it recently, and it's tasty. It's not as bad as, you know, other mass-produced beers, as far as I'm concerned.
Stella?
Leffe.
Leffe?
Stella does too, though. Like, in a pinch, I'll take a Stella over a, you know, Coors Light.
Yeah.
I still think the claims are a little far-fetched. Like, from a marketing perspective, you're misleading people.
I agree. I mean, you think you're getting a beer that's brewed by monks.
Yep.
Not anymore.
Especially if you're paying $12 a bottle for it.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Straight to Mr. Bush's pocket.
All right. So in other news, HB2, which is the law in North Carolina that's causing a lot of stir from bans, boycotting to all sorts of other stuff. This one is about beer, though. So 2 North Carolina breweries are going to brew a new beer that's called Don't Be Mean to People, a Golden Rule Saison. And 3 dozen North Carolina breweries have already signed up to sell this in their breweries to take a stand.
What are we standing against?
Yes, standing against what?
So HB2 is the law that it like voids cities' anti-discrimination rules. So it's kind of aimed at like LGBT people. And if I'm correct, it's something about bathrooms.
Yeah. You guys, big... you, You have to use the bathroom of your birth gender.
What if you're born a hermaphrodite? Do you get to choose?
I don't know. I didn't read the fine print.
I'm sure that they have that defined.
Yeah, you don't get to go to the bathroom at all.
But basically, if you are a transgender person where you were born as a man but you're living as a woman, you still have to go into the male bathroom.
Yeah, it says here, it keeps city from enacting rules protecting members of the LGBT community from discrimination.
So are they donating the profits to something?
They are. So in addition to currently raising $18,000 like as a project fundraiser, they are donating 100% of the profit of this beer sales to two North Carolina-based groups, Equality NC, which opposes HB2 as part of its advocacy efforts, and another group, QORDS, that operates music camps that focus on gay and transgender youth.
And just for the record, just so everyone knows, here at the Beer of the Day headquarters, any gender can use any bathroom. We're that wide open.
We're progressive here.
Yes. So, I mean, we're cutting edge as far as that goes.
So I should stop going outside.
I feel so comfortable here now that I know that.
So New Belgium is one of the main breweries that signed up to sell this Don't Be Mean to People Golden Rule Saison.
Maybe they should. Never mind.
Don't be mean.
This is the most beautiful music in the world.
This is the music to the Masters. And there was some good news for the Masters that just finished up last weekend. And they're now selling new choices of beer at the Masters.
Yeah, so they have American craft beer now available in the form of Blue Moon Hefeweizen.
Oh.
Yes.
Great.
So, you know, Masters, it's a little tradition and things don't change there very quickly, including the price. So a glass of American craft beer will cost you $5, which at a sporting event is really
decent.
Yeah, really good deal. It still costs you $3,000 to get in the gate, but after that, it's only $5 for the beer.
But hey, discount beer.
Yeah, it is. You know, they might want to get a little better handle on what craft beer is before they start calling their Blue Moon American craft beer. But it's a step in the right direction.
I thought the good news was that the Masters was over.
No.
All right, well, let's get into the next beer of the night. We have another chocolate stout. This is Chocolate Indulgence from Brewery Omegang, Cooperstown, New York. And this is one that we had on the previous show, but we're trying it with fresh, new perspective at this point.
I love these beers with the cap and cork.
Corked and
caged.
Always
more interesting. Corked and whatever you call it.
You can pour that very light.
So speaking of light, it is an incredibly dark beer. It doesn't let... Well,
do
it does
this?
A little bit. Lets a little bit of light in. Super thick tan head.
I like the head that's put on that. Nice cascading.
Yeah. A lot of retention.
It smells similar to the other beer.
See, I think it smells a lot richer.
Yeah, the other one had much more of a milky lactose aroma. This one doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Yes, but similar.
And the other
both
one
chocolatey.
The other one was more of like a like Britton said, the powdered chocolate, kind of a chalky chocolate. And this one is more of a
chocolate
richer
bar.
Chocolate.
It's just robust. I like the smell.
Judging on fragrance, this is the beer of the day.
Fragrance
thus far.
It does
after
not
two.
Taste like how I would expect it to.
I need to warm it up a little bit.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
So I don't know if it's me already knowing that it's brewed by Omegang, but I feel like they're lending a specific taste to this style that wouldn't normally be there.
Do you mean the Omegang taste?
Yeah, like more Belgian-y chocolate stout than I was expecting.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. It is a little yeastier than I would expect most stouts to taste.
Yeah.
But it does have this fruity finish. It's kind of like a blend of a Belgian ale and a chocolate stout.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a bit of fruit throughout the whole thing, not just the finish. I got even up front, I got some, maybe even like a little bit of cherry or...
Dark cherry.
Yeah, something like dried fruit.
Dane, I'm curious how you think this beer compares to the one you just had.
The first one was better. I mean, I taste a little bit of fruit in this, but it just tastes kind of bitter to me.
It is more bitter than the last one.
Bitter chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also some more roasted malt type flavors in here as well.
Yeah, I think Andy said it. There's a little bit of like, it's almost maybe a feeling or a taste of a dark chocolate versus a, you know, like a smooth
milk,
like a milk chocolate.
I think that's even what you get on the nose, though. I mean, that's
absolutely,
it's a big difference.
As I've continued to drink it, though, it's gotten better. I feel like the first one was,
it's a little bit of a transition because it is darker, more bitter, higher alcohol. So it's going to be a little bit of a different type of beer that you have to get used to.
I think it has a pretty like velvety texture. It's not real creamy, but it's smooth.
I like this one a lot. I think it our is pretty frozen, our beer here. Yeah. I mean, if it warmed up a little bit, it might even get a little more out of it. But
I get this ice out of here.
So I just read the bottle, and it does say they're touting it as a Belgian-style stout, and that's like exactly what it tastes like.
Yeah.
I think for me, what's most remarkable about this beer is the carbonation. Like, it's kind of got this, it's not thick. It's kind of got this bubbly mouthfeel, like a, like when you just take a sip and swirl it in your mouth, it's, the carbonation is really interesting on this beer.
Word. Yeah, it's like a little bitey. Not in a bad way, but just the carbonation's really zingy.
I'm shocked how much I like this beer. You know, a Belgian-style stout doesn't seem like up my alley. It seems like it'd be a mixture of flavors that I wouldn't really enjoy, but I really like the way they balance this.
Agreed. Pretty good.
All right. Well, I think that we did a good job on that one. Let's move on to the next beer. This is from Stone Brewing Company in San Diego. Jeff's favorite of all time. And
like the last five Stone beers we've had, he's liked.
This is their Americano Stout. Now, Joel is an Americano aficionado.
Yeah, it's my choice drink at the El Starbuckso. And so I'm a big fan of just straight espresso, no sugar or anything.
Are you one of the like gold member VIPs there?
Kid,
yeah.
Come like, on now.
You earn it within a day, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I was there like in early January.
Fun fact, I worked there for like 5 years.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What? How was that?
To be honest with you, it was like the best job ever. Like if I could go back to and work at Starbucks now, making what I do now, then I would be in like heaven.
And now Starbucks talk with Britton Miner.
Hey, some Starbucks have beer now.
Ah, oh, dude, I like want to do
one
it
right down
just,
the street does.
Just so I can. It doesn't make sense. But.
So this one here is a little bit lighter in color than the previous one. It's quite cloudy. It has a very thin.
Cloudy?
Mine's cloudy. I can't really see.
Mine doesn't look cloudy, but I mean, it's dark.
Yeah, but it's not as dark. Like I can see that it's cloudy even though it's dark. Like sometimes it's night, but you can't see the stars. So you know it's cloudy.
That was deep.
That's every night where I live. There's no stars here.
Smell-wise, it's pretty reserved in the smell. I do get a little of that espresso coffee aroma, but it's not as aromatic as the first two beers we had.
And it's not as coffee-ish as I thought it would smell, although it does smell more acidic than the last one.
Yeah, acidic is perfect. It smells more like brewed coffee. It smells like iced coffee. That's what it smells like. It just has that iced coffee smell to it.
Yeah, it is not an Americano taste. Americano has that real creamy, like rich, robust, smooth espresso flavor. This has the, I've been sitting in a pitcher in the freezer for 10 days and I got pulled out to defrost. I don't like this beer. I'll just tell you guys. It tastes like.
I couldn't tell.
It tastes like an ice brew that has just been sitting around too long. I don't like it.
You know, I'm not a big fan either. I appreciate that it's really bold and rich. And to Andy's point, I mostly like Stone beers these days, but this one I don't care for. It's too bitter for me. Just the finish, it's this lingering bitterness.
Yep.
Not to mention that this costs like $18 for a six pack.
Yikes.
It's not cheap. It's too bitter for me.
That's exactly where I was going to go. The finish is very overly bitter, and it does lingers, just like Jeff said. You just get bitterness, and it keeps getting more bitter and more bitter.
It leaves a bitter feeling in Jeff's wallet.
Hey, so do you guys know if this actually has caffeine in it? I think there's some weird law in California about caffeine in beer or something like that.
Yeah, but I think there's limits. It's not that it can't, because there's caffeine in chocolate, too. I mean,
yeah.
Does anybody like it? I mean, I do like Stone for the most part, but does anybody like this? Dallas, what do you think?
I've had better coffee stouts that I like better than this. This one is just a little too bitter on the aftertaste. And maybe if they had had a little more sweetness or maybe a little of that creamy milkiness, it could have made it a little more palatable. This is a little tough one for me to get down. For each 120 barrel batch, we incorporated over 250 pounds of artisanal espresso roast beans into the mash and added in Columbus, Chinook, Amarillo, Cascade hops to invigorate the coffee taste with a slight citrus and resin hop presence. Whew.
Now is that, I'm curious actually, is that during the boil or when would they add those in? Before?
Before.
It's just brewed. They brew the beans with the mash.
Probably like 160. So what is coffee should come out at like 200 or?
Yeah, but it depends on like if they kept the bean whole, then maybe, but it tastes like over extracted coffee and it'll get better when you do that.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that I've had to have this beer twice now. And there's going to be like two of these sitting in the fridge for three more years. So.
It looks like I think Dane might go after him.
I mean, I'm not going to go after him, but
this is the beer you like.
I'm not in love with it, but I do like the coffee taste, and for whatever reason, it tastes better this week than it did last week. I don't know if I just wasn't in the mood or what was going on, but I do like the coffee taste. Now someone mentioned $18 a six pack. I don't know.
A little steep.
Yeah, that's a little steep, but I like the taste.
I can tell you where you can get two for free.
You know what else I don't like about this beer, I keep drinking it, is that there's like the coffee bitterness, and then there's a little bit of like a boozy warming after that.
It is 8.7%, so
yeah,
that's pretty high on the alcohol scale.
I'm not digging that booziness. It's kind of like an alcohol-y bite right after that coffee bitter that almost accentuates the bitterness even more.
That's a big word.
All right, we're halfway through. We're gonna make the turn, and in this back nine of our show, we're gonna have three more stouts to try, and they are 10%, 10%, and 11%. We'll be right back on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast, and I don't really exactly know why you would, but if you do, if you're one of those rare people that like the Beer of the Day podcast or the Beer of the Day website and you'd like to support us, you can do so by doing your shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. All you have to do is go to beeroftheday.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little Amazon banner. You click that, do your regular shopping that you would on Amazon, and we get a little commission of what you spend, 4, 5, 6%, somewhere in there. And that helps us pay for all the expenses here. We have web hosting to pay for. We have the services that we use to send out the Beer of the Day to you by email each and every day, by text message each and every day, the beer that we drink on this show. And so when you shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you help us out. For example, somebody, I don't know who, went to beeroftheday.com, clicked the banner, and they bought Chainsaw Bar and Chain Oil, a whole quart of it. They paid $8.92. We received 54 cents for that purchase.
Sounds like they really need some ball and chain oil.
I wonder what that tastes like.
Joel was the one that bought that.
It was me. I had to do some manly things. I mean, it was just weird.
Is that his lumberjack voice?
But now that he's lubed his chain, all is well.
That's
oh, yes.
Right. And so, you do your purchases on Amazon and you help us out. And we appreciate it. All right, let's get back to the show here. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Second half of the show, and we kick it off with a beer from Coronado Brewing Company in Coronado, California. That's near San Diego. And this is the Stupid Stout, it's called.
What a stupid name.
Dang, that is like oil.
Like Joel's chain lube oil.
Oh my, this might be the darkest head I've ever
seen. I don't know if I've seen a pour come out of a glass more dark than that.
Tenfitty pours pretty dark too, like that.
It looks a lot like that. Motor oil type consistency. The head is like brown itself, but even a little like reddish, especially when it first poured.
It's one of those beers where we say like it has red highlights in it. I mean, it's a very dark, almost black beer, but there's some red highlights, and the head's very tan and
the smell brown. Is very peculiar.
So I'm holding this up to the light at Beer of the Day headquarters, and you cannot see through it. This would actually black out the sun.
It looked like you were pouring soy sauce.
I would say that mine is black with black highlights.
It smells grassy.
Now the head is now diminished. There is just a slight wispiness of head on the top of the glass, but it's very low head, low carbonation.
Dallas just tasted it, but no one else has tasted it, and Jeff just did, but it smells like it's going to hurt. I mean, that's what it smells like.
It smells very alcoholic.
I don't get that. I mean, to me, it has kind of the burnt, malty, roasted smell, but also some like earthy or piney hops.
Yeah, the thing is with stouts is there's such a wide range. Like we started with a 5.5, we had 7, we had 8.7, we're at 10 now. These go to 12, 13, 14, 16% even. So you can have stouts of every range in that alcoholic spectrum. And so, you can find balanced ones in each one too.
So the taste is very smooth for what it smelled and the appearance. And actually the aroma I didn't think was that overbearing, but the appearance, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be tough to get down. But it goes down extremely smooth. There is a dark characteristic to it, but it's not heavy. Yeah, so, no,
it's a real easy drinker.
Yeah.
It's very light mouthfeel on it.
It actually reminds me of the old Scallywag a lot and how smooth it is.
Yeah, the old Scallywag was a barley wine, but it is remarkably smooth for being higher alcohol content.
Yeah, the thing I like about this beer is that it has a high alcohol content, but it doesn't have a lot of that sweetness that you get with some high alcohol content. It's like, man, that's just so sweet. It does go down, like they said, smooth, and you're not getting that really intense mouthfeel where it's almost like you're chewing it. You don't get that.
And at 10%, they don't have to bump up the sweetness to hide the alcohol. Like you get up to 12, 13, 14%, they're having to make it a sweeter beer just so that you don't have the burn.
I think this one has a crisper quality than a lot of stouts you have. You know, stouts kind of tend to be a little bit heavier and like linger on your palate. And this one is a little bit crisper than that. It's a little bit fresher tasting too.
So it only tastes like it's about 9%.
It does.
Because it is.
So this is the first traditional stout. I mean, it's a imperial stout, I think, by what any definition. But, you know, we had two chocolates and a coffee. And now it's just stupid stout.
Yeah. And this is the kind of beer that I want if I'm like, in the snow, in the wintertime, like this is just a warm, good tasting stout. It's got a ton of flavor. It does remind me of like a standard stout, but with a lot more intensity to it.
I think you're right. I think it's simple, but this is what like a stout is supposed to taste like. It's a little thinner than I expected. Like I thought looking at this, it would be a little more viscous, but it's actually a little thinner in the mouthfeel and the body. But, you know, when I taste this, it's really good. It's solid. It's just what a stout should be. It's got like a malty, roasted, you know, a little bit of bitterness, some dark chocolate flavors. I mean, this is what I look for in a stout.
The bitterness is so much more reserved than in the Americano stout.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just a lot more enjoyable beer than that.
I know you guys were saying that you didn't think it was that sweet. I am picking up a sweetness in it, but it's not overly sweet, which I like. And it's balanced with a bitter that I would come to expect from like a pretty solid stout. kind of like Jeff said, like this is what I would expect from just a good solid stout.
This is exceptionally well balanced. I mean, the bitterness in this beer is exactly what you want when you drink a stout. It's the right amount of bitterness.
The bitterness is more like a char flavor. Yeah.
Like a roasty flavor.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little smoky too. It's not overly smoky. We've on a few recent shows, we've had some smoky beers, but there's some smokiness in the finish. I mean, this is just well-rounded, lots of flavors. I mean, we could talk all day about all the different little notes that we pick up on.
And I think you said it well. I mean, we talk about roasty and smoky, but when you get a beer that's has a charred flavor but is not off-putting, I mean, that's quality. You have a quality malt build here.
Yeah, I like the malt. It's malty.
Pretty good.
But not overly malty.
Do you guys get any, like, coffee or espresso, like... I mean, not like the Omegang one, but do you get a little bit of that?
I mean, if you went to burnt espresso, sure, but not just naturally.
I think our bottle was also very chilled down, kind of like the one of the first beers we had that was pretty chilled. And I think that is taking away some of the flavor profile. We're picking out specific tastes.
I'm actually feeling like compared to most stouts, I can taste hops more than normal in this one, and I could smell it too. Like it smelled a little grassy. You can tell that there's hops in there. The malt kind of balances it out, and it is really well balanced. So I don't think it's something that is like right up front. But if you apply Andy's third sip rule, I taste some hops in there.
It was in the fridge for over half a year, so it's quite cold.
Well, I don't know if we said it. This is the 2015 version, so you can still get the 2014. So just for the record, this is the 2015.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. And we had a doozy. Kent in Minnesota. A couple weeks ago, we did Patascala Red X IPA on the show. And he beat us to the punch and wrote a description of it. This is a very flavorful beer. The nose is hoppy, piney, and citrusy. You could enjoy the hop bouquet all day. The color is fantastic, coming off a reddish brown with brilliant red highlights. The flavor is bright and highly enjoyable with a noticeable, almost nutty malt backbone that is quickly subdued by the overflow of hops that mostly follow the aroma. While you can easily enjoy more than one of these over the course of a few rounds with this one, you notice the hops feel and taste like dry pellet hops rather than fresh whole cone. All in all, a great beer, and if you read the backstory for this on the Stone website, you will see that it was brewed for a great cause. Make this one a year-round offering. We agree, and Kent, we're going to make this beer the beer of the day. The day this podcast comes out, which is April 19th, Tuesday, Patascala will be the beer of the day, and it has your description on it. So thank you for writing that description. And we encourage more people to do that. If you have a beer that you like, that you've tried, and you want to let everyone know what it's like, you can do that by adding a beer and making writing a description, and we'll make that the beer of the day. So that was very good. Thank you, Kent. On Facebook, during the Masters, our buddy Tim Sotak posted a picture of his big screen TV. And in front of that, he had a Stone Enjoy by 420 IPA. And Patascala will be the beer of the day on April 19th. 420, Britton's birthday.
Woo, my birthday.
And I have a special beer picked out for that day that celebrates both Britton and the 420 holiday. So if you have... any beers you want to post up or just comments on the beer of the day, you can post those on facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. On Twitter, last week we had a beer. It was called the Missouri Mule. We did it on the podcast and we featured it as beer of the day. And the brewery saw our review and it wasn't that very favorable because it tasted like it had been a little bit aged. And so we weren't too high on it, and they caught whiff of that review, and they were disappointed in that. And so they sent me a message on Twitter. Saw your review. Very unfortunate. Please let us know where you got the beer. We would like to send you a fresh sample if possible. I responded, hi, we got the beer at Culinaria grocery store in St. Louis and brought it back to California in the luggage. There was no date readable on the can, so not sure how old it was. It tasted like a beer where the hops had faded and lost freshness. I'd love to give it another shot if you want to send out some. And then I gave him Beer of the Day's address and they could mail it out. They responded, "We will get some fresh beer sent your way. Thanks for trying it, and we are embarrassed that it wasn't up to our standards. Cheers." So obviously they take their beer very seriously, and so I'm looking forward to trying some fresh beer from Piney River, Missouri Mule.
Some fresh Missouri Mule?
Yeah.
Good. I feel kind of bad about that whole situation, because like, we bought that beer, and I mean, we might love a beer because it's fresh and dislike a beer that we'd otherwise give a better rating for, just if we don't get a bad, you know, if we get a bad batch.
Right.
It is what it is, though.
That's part of the large brewery's distribution. Like, you know, it's part of their strategy.
This is a tiny little brewery in the lower corner of Missouri. And
isn't it all the lower corner? Sorry.
I don't know what that means. But yeah, they don't really have that too much control over, you know, how old the beer we got was. But anyway, they reached us on Twitter at Beer of the Day. We're also on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. All right, let's get into the next beer we have from Clown Shoes, Ipswich, Massachusetts. This is the Undead Party Crasher, 10%.
Shout out to our buddy Filthy Phil.
Filthy Phil Thomas, West Coast Ambassador for Clown Shoes.
It's all valid, man.
He's a not dead party goer.
This one pours a lot like the stupid stout.
I think it's the same, maybe even a little darker, but the head is a lot lighter colored. It's not like khaki colored.
The only thing that would make this better if it had some Chambly yeast in it. I'm all about the Chambly yeast.
Still loves them Chambly yeast. It probably does. I don't know. I think it pours a little bit lighter. I can see through it. I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right. The head is just significantly lighter in color.
Yeah.
What's funny is that Dane described the last pour as soy sauce, and I get a little soy sauce smell on this. I don't know if it's just in the forefront of my mind or not. But
little chicken teriyaki?
I think the aroma is kind of milky, like lactose, almost like that chocolate milk stout at the beginning.
It smells sweeter and a little bit more tart.
I think the beer is sweeter. It has a little bit more of a brown sugar characteristic to it.
And I feel like it's more smoky as well.
It's so good.
I think it actually has, compared to the last beer, much less like roast, like burnt malt flavors. I think it has less smoky maltiness than the previous stupid stout.
I get a lot of smoke.
Yeah, I think smoky is appropriate, too. But both things apply. It doesn't have the bitter charredness to it, but it is kind of like a more fresh smoke.
It's a fuller taste. There's more, it's sweeter, and there's a little bit more boldness to it. The last beer was, it was a little flatter. It kept to itself. It wasn't like trying to expand. It was trying to be a good stout. Simple, stupid stout.
Yeah, that was more of a note, and this is more of a chord. You know, there's more of a...
Yes.
So that's a really good analogy.
I'm in a conundrum here, because I think for the first time ever tasting beers on this podcast, I'm almost wondering if I would have had stupid stout after the Clown Shoes beer that we're having now, if I would have chosen the stupid stout. Because now I'm favoring this beer, but I feel like...
Well, you can try that now.
The stupid stout is a more complex and more just more complicated beer that I enjoy.
All right, well, drink that beer, and then you can have a little more stupid stout at the end.
I think this one has a much more like creamy mouthfeel, like kind of a powdery, creamy mouthfeel.
That's like that brown
sugar. Which I enjoy. It's just
sugar.
Totally different.
Well, I think the Undead Party Crasher is not as complex. It's not as well balanced, but I don't think that's what they're going for. They want kind of a bolder flavor. They don't want the mellowness.
I wouldn't call it as balanced, but I would call it more complex. There's more different flavors coming out of this
beer.
It's
more in your face.
I feel like this one, just for me, is more complex than the stupid stout. Yeah. There's a lot Like, if I think about it, there's a lot of other distinct flavors that I can pick out of this one that I couldn't out of the stupid stout. And it's sweeter.
I think the name is better. it's a cooler name. Like, we just keep saying stupid stout over and over, and it's like derogatory.
That stupid stout we had.
So I just took a sip of the stupid stout and compared it to this beer. And the one thing that I will say is that there's an intensity of the stupid stout. And if you're not leaning towards that flavor, that smoky. Yeah.
It's one note though. It's one flavor.
Exactly. I think that's correct. Is that charred, like intense, like a malty, chocolatey, smoky, charred flavor. And if you're not
that's
all
a
about
lot of flavors, you just said for being one flavor though.
Yeah, you're right.
In my opinion, I think the Undead Party Crasher has one flavor. It's sweet to me.
But those are all versions of the same thing. Where like there's smokiness, there's brown sugar, there's some chocolate. You know, there's that roasted malt. I mean, that's I don't know. I just feel like
give Steve a little more stupid stout.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you guys a couple more things I think from this beer. And I like them both. I don't know if I favor one over the other. But this one has a very unique aftertaste.
Yes.
Almost like licorice, like black licorice, which I don't love black licorice, but I think it's unique to this beer. And there's kind of an oaky flavor, almost as if this was barrel aged. I mean, I know it's not, but I taste some oakiness in this that I did not get in Stupid Stout.
So kind of differently from what Jeff said, but kind of along the same lines, I can see where he's coming from with the licorice. I don't necessarily get that flavor, but what I do get on the Undead Party Crasher is like almost like a cooling effect on the finish. I mean, I think that's where he's talking about the licorice. Is anybody else getting that? Like, I don't taste licorice per se, but there's like a cooling, almost like a minty effect that licorice can have.
Maybe it's herbal, like a herbal hop flavor.
Yeah. And the other thing, yeah, herbal. And the other thing that I'm noticing is that the aftertaste is tart. And I wouldn't describe the beer as tart, but the aftertaste is to me.
Well, one thing I can tell you after going back to the Stupid Stout and then back again to the Clown Shoes. The Clown Shoes beer is much more favorable and pleasant to drink.
For you.
For me. So it's just not as harsh.
It's sweeter, which lowers the harshness. It's a more broader, fuller flavor. I think you have to, if you're drinking the Stupid Stout and you're not, you're drinking that for a prolonged period of time, you can really focus on the flavors. But the Undead Party Crasher is bolder, and it overshadows the Stupid Stout when you drink them side by side.
It lingers, the Undead Party Crasher for me, it lingers a lot longer. And the more I drink it, the more syrupy it's getting to me, which I find a little bit unpleasant.
What the Coronado beer doesn't have is that level of sweetness. So I think when we're drinking it, it's not harsh to me at all. But it's in that terms of it's not overly sweet, so it tends to get more syrupy quicker, I think. It's just a little bit heavier beer.
It's like a velvety silkiness that the Stupid Stout doesn't have.
I don't think it's harsh at all, though.
No.
All right.
So I think that you have two beers from opposite sides of the country. They're both imperial stouts. They're both basically 10%. They're when you look at them, you can't really see the difference.
Stupid Stout's 9%,
according to the bottle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, according to the website, Beer Advocate, it's wrong. So,
who's that?
Sounds about right.
Anyway, very similar beers, but when you taste them, they couldn't really be more different for the style.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
You can't confuse these beers. You know that they're who they are the first second you take a sip of them. So it's pretty good to compare those types of similar beers side by side. All right. Well, I guess we need to crank it up one more notch. Yeah.
If you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board. Oh. 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah.
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Is that Ricky Gervais?
No, it's Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap.
That's what I was trying to... I was like, I know this movie. I know it.
These go to 11. So this beer goes to 11. This is the 30th anniversary ale from Bell's Brewing Company, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
K-A-L-A.
30 years. That's pretty good for a craft brewery.
Another dark pour here. It's weird on Stout Night.
I was expecting some nice amber colors.
Has kind of the same dark brown tan head as the stupid stout.
So this one, just watching the pour, it seems to be a little syrupy as it comes out. We have just one 12-ounce bottle to share between six people.
Yeah, so small pours.
But it does go to 11.
Why don't you just make 10 louder?
And this is kind of a special beer. I haven't seen it readily available. I bought this probably 3 months ago, and I think it ages well. But I gave Dallas a bottle to take home, and I have this one. So I've only seen it one time since then. It's kind of, I think it's hard to find. 30-year anniversary. Pretty remarkable.
We've only done one other Bell's beer on this show, the Two-Hearted Ale IPA in can and bottle.
Yep.
But it's good to try a different one.
Now, Dane, I'm curious because you said the last one smelled like soy sauce. Was that low-sodium soy sauce and this one smells like regular soy sauce?
I think it was two before I said it.
Was it two before?
Steve said the last one smelled like it.
Yeah, Steve said the last one smelled like soy sauce.
This one really smells like soy sauce.
This one tastes very boozy to me, I would assume, because of the alcohol content. But
it makes my nostrils burn a little bit.
I think it's very what I expect when I drink Imperial Stout. It kind of has an old Rasputin kind of flavors to me. I mean, it's pretty intense. It's high alcohol. You get a little bit of that burn, but it's not unpleasant to me.
This is the first one that gets to that true Imperial Stout status where you're drinking out of a small glass by the fireplace on a winter night, and this one just warms the body.
Mm-hmm. You know? Warms the cockles of your heart.
You take a sip of this and it just warms up your whole stomach and esophagus and everything all the way down.
It's definitely a sipping beer, not a chugging beer.
It's one of those beers where I don't know that I could even drink this whole 12-ounce bottle, but I could drink half of it and enjoy the hell out of it.
Yep, me too. I think it has woody tones. Mm. I'm picking up, you know, like almost like bourbon.
Is this bourbon barrel aged?
Is it bourbon barrel aged? Because I'm picking up like oaky...
I bet it is.
No, leathery.
It doesn't say that.
I don't think it is.
Really?
I don't think it is. I think it would be a little more
boozy if it were.
Smoother.
Smoother, yeah. There is like a raw booziness to it that is apparent. It's not
unpleasant though.
No,
but it is there.
Yeah.
This is a style of beer where I need to drink like 3 or 4 sips to really like evaluate the flavors. You know, we have a lot of IPAs and other beers where I pick up on flavors quickly. This is a tough one. Like it takes 3 or 4 sips to really figure out what's going on. But I like this. It's for 11%. It's boozy, but it's drinkable.
I like it that it's not overly sweet. The sweetness is muted, and I actually think I like it more when some of the booziness can come out when it's not masked by sweetness. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they did a good job. With the sweetness on this one, because it's not overly so, it's not syrupy, but it is boozy.
So there's two beer descriptors that get used a lot, not just on this show, but in general. It's soy sauce and Worcestershire sauce. And I've never identified that in any beer, but this reminds me of Worcester Shops.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I was going to say that. I didn't want to sound weird.
Yeah. This is the first time I've experienced that in any beer, which I've had a lot of beers. And
I like it.
It's like if you get some if you get some Chinese food with like the oyster sauce.
Right.
It's a little salty.
It is slightly salty.
Yeah.
But I think it also has some of that herbal hops, kind of like the Undead Party Crasher. Like, I mean, all of these beers are very malty, but some of them have a little more hop flavor than others. And this one has some hops there that I do taste. It's pretty well balanced with the hops.
I might be crazy, but in the finish, I get kind of vanilla, little like vanilla extract kind of sweetness there at the end.
You're crazy, man.
It's crazy.
I like you, but you're crazy.
I like this one.
I think Dallas agrees.
I do agree.
I feel like through a lot of these, I've been having flashbacks of when, like, as a child, when I would have to swallow NyQuil. and just that, like hard to get down.
It has a little medicinal quality, but at a certain point in the alcohol spectrum, the beers change from being a beer that you drink quantities of to a beer that you sip like it's a liquor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good so to know. Like a so like you don't chug scotch like you chug beer. You sip it.
Maybe and you don't.
At a certain point, beer becomes more of a sipping type of beverage instead of a drinking type of beverage.
But Dane's got a point with this beer when it comes to like cough syrup or medicine or NyQuil. It has that lingering like coating on your mouth, the mouthfeel on this beer. It lasts quite a long time.
Yeah, coating is pretty good.
Yeah.
Coating.
But yeah, you guys are right. These are all medicinal. They're all sippers. You can't chug any of these beers.
Except maybe that first one.
So you have to put the beer bong away. Sorry.
We'll test that theory later. All right. Well, I think we did a fair job summing that up. I don't really know where this is going to go.
I don't even know what I'm going to pick.
So let's recap the beers we've had, and maybe it'll jog some people's memory. We can figure out what our favorite beer of the day was.
So we started off with the chocolate milk stout from Four Hands. Then we had the chocolate indulgence Belgian style stout from Brewery Omegang. The Americano stout from Stone Brewing. The Undead Party Crasher from Clown Shoes. The Stupid Stout from Coronado. And we finished off with the 30th Anniversary Ale from Bell's Brewing Company.
All right, we're going to spin the wheel and figure out who's going to pick first tonight. And the wheel's spinning. And it's Joel.
All right, so, I take all these beers and I'm going to a friend's house. And I'm like, all right. I'm going to show off a beer that I really enjoy.
Do you have other friends besides us?
No, actually, I don't.
I got worried for a second.
This is a theoretical scenario.
Yeah, so if all these are on the shelf and I've had them all and I go, oh, I remember all of these, which one do I pick? I'm going to show off a stout. I'm going to choose the Undead Party Crasher. It's just an amazingly well-balanced beer. And, you know, my hat's off to Clown Shoes. They do it time and time again. They just create a beer that you just want to enjoy and you want to share with other people. So that's my choice.
All right. Dane.
Mine's pretty easy. It's the first one that we tried tonight, the chocolate milk stout. Just tasted the best to me, went down the easiest, didn't have any lingering strange aftertaste. It's probably the only one that we tried tonight that I would purchase and drink on any sort of semi-regular basis.
You kind
of
like the Americano, though, right?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that
you
one.
Went out for $18 a six-pack.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I like the chocolate milk stout.
Cool. Next time you're in St. Louis, pick some up. Steve.
I'm a fan of the style here, so I mean, no surprise to me. I liked most of these beers, with the exception of the Stone Americano. Everything else I rated a 3.5 or a 4. If I'm choosing one that I want to try again in the future, I'm going to try the Chocolate Indulgence from Omegang. I liked Belgian qualities and the fruit flavors that kind of go with that Belgian style, and just that it was kind of a more of a dark chocolate flavor, which I love dark chocolate. It really appealed to me. I liked it a lot.
All right. Three people have gone, three different beers. I am going to qualify my response. I liked the 30th anniversary ale. I think it was so good. It put itself on par with the big hitters of Imperial Stouts.
Yeah.
Which is Old Rasputin, Barrel-Aged Narwhal, the Speedway, the one from Chicago.
Goose Island.
Goose Island. There's the Kentucky Bourbon thing.
Yeah. One, KBS.
KBS. Yeah. There's so many good stouts, and that one was really close to that. And so because it compares to those ones, I'm not picking that one. I want to pick the Undead Party Crasher. This is a fun beer. It's it has enough sweetness, enough boldness of flavor. It's drinkable. It's fun. And it seems to me like the most approachable of the beers that we tried tonight. So I'm going Undead Party Crasher. Jeffrey.
Well, I agree with everybody so far. You know, when we started this show, I was a little afraid that all of these would taste the same to me, and I'm glad they did not. And I think there was a lot of variation, and I think every single one of these had some unique characteristics that really allowed us to differentiate one from the other.
I think if we blind taste tested them now, we could pick them all out.
Oh yeah.
Out of a lineup, easy.
Yeah, I think we'd do pretty good at it anyways.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, when I hear of having a show with six stouts, I'm thinking, geez, they're going to taste the same to me. And that was not the case at all. And so, you know, to piggyback sort of on what Dallas said, I really like the Bell's 30th anniversary, but that was not my choice either. I'm going to pick a different one. And my favorite was the Stupid Stout from Coronado. When I think of what a stout should taste like, it was just a solid, robust, lots of like the burnt molasses and dark chocolate flavors, and it was remarkably smooth at 9%. That was kind of like the epitome of what a stout should be, and so that was my beer of the day.
It was like the most traditional stout that we had here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So with honorable mention to the chocolate indulgent stout, where, you know, you could have that beer and a candy bar, chocolate bar, and have a great dessert. I'm going to go with the Undead Party Crasher. You know, Joel talked about, you know, that's the kind of beer you can show off, and in a lot of ways it is, but it's also like really drinkable. You know, it has a lot of complexity, but I think most people could at least appreciate it. You know, even if they don't like it, they can still appreciate what it offers, where it's not overpowering in such a way that they can't get past the bitterness or anything like that. So, Undead Party Crasher.
All right, and for me, it was between two. I really appreciated having the 30th anniversary ale from Bell's Brewing. That was one that I enjoyed a lot. I'm glad I had it, and I would seek it out again in the future. But I'm going with Jeff. I also really liked the Stupid Stout. I thought it was a great, solid example of the style. It's a traditional stout. It's super balanced, but where I thought it was a little bit unique and set itself apart is that it's got a slight hop freshness that I wasn't expecting. I feel like that's a little bit unique to the style, even though we're describing it as a traditional stout. So that's my pick, Stupid Stout by Coronado.
All right.
Good pick.
That's a pretty varied reaction. You know, we got votes on four different beers.
We got four or five. I think we got five. Oh, 30th got mentioned a lot, but no votes.
Yeah, 30th got mentioned a lot. So
I think that kind of just tells you, though. I mean, if you're looking to try a stout and you're listening to the show, I mean, none of these are bad choices. I mean,
not at all.
If you're looking for a new stout to try, grab any one of these.
And, except for the Americano.
Yeah, maybe not the Americano. That's not your thing.
Unless you like bitter.
Unless you're a billionaire, you don't care about money.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, that's going to close out our stout show. We had a 9, a 10, an 11% beer, so we can feel it for sure. Next week, this show comes out on Tuesday. On Saturday, which is
April 23rd.
April 23rd, we will be at the Newport Dunes Waterfront Resort for the Newport Beach Brewfest. That's at 6 o'clock on the 23rd, and Jeff and I will be trying some Southern California beers. So we will have a full report on that on our next episode. And we will see you then. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Dane Carinko, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. Thanks for listening to the Beer of the Day podcast.